Hi guys, welcome back to Detective AM. How are you guys doing? And if you're new to this channel, hi, I'm Amira and I'm going to tell you about true crime cases that happen in Indonesia. And in this video, we're going to talk about the infamous case of Wayan Mirna Salihin. So for all of you guys who are interested, please continue listen to this podcast. Sorry, to this video. Wayan Mirna Salihin was born on March 30, 1988 in Jakarta, Indonesia. She was raised in a loving and wealthy family and she had a twin sister. Wayan graduated from Jubilee School and then moved to Australia in 2007. She enrolled herself as a second year student in Billy Blue College of Design in graphic design major. And here she met Bun Juwita, or called as Hani, who was her classmates. Knowing both of them are Indonesian, the friendship sparked right away. Hani already in Billy Blue since the first year in 2006, so Hani already had many Indonesian friends and introducing Mirna to all of other Indonesian friends that she had. And one of them was Jessica Wongso, a student in multimedia major. Back then, Jessica was somehow close with Hani, but since Mirna came, Hani spent more time with Mirna instead. Hani, Mirna, and Jessica didn't always together, but when they do, they somehow mingle in group. And usually they went for lunch or dinner or anything about food hunting. By that time, Mirna was in relationship with Arif, another Indonesian who stayed at Melbourne for studying. And after 2 years together, on December 2008, three of them graduated in the same day. And while Mirna and Hani decided to move back to Jakarta, Jessica decided to stay in Australia, find a job, and became a permanent resident. Mirna did some freelance work as graphic designer in Indonesia, and she even became a creative director in Miska Design. I think Miska Design is a company that Mirna owned by herself because, you know, she just graduated. It's kind of a little bit weird to be creative director right away after you graduated, but we really don't know if it's actually her company or not. On the other hand, Jessica in Australia hired as graphic designer in NSW Ambulance. And now that they have a different life in different countries, their friendship's going, you know, seems a little bit off because they all have their own life now. Even though they live in a different countries, Mirna still almost every year came to Australia, and every time Mirna came to Australia, she always met Jessica. So far, we know that Mirna came to Australia on 2013 with Arif, on 2014 with her mom and twin sister, and in the mid of 2015. When Mirna came alone. That encounter on 2015 was the last meeting Mirna and Jessica had in Australia, because there was one incident that really changed it all. That day, Jessica picked Mirna at her new apartment after she just went back from work. They went somewhere far for a dinner, and at that day, Mirna told Jessica that she is about to get engaged with Arif, but Mirna had some confusions about this engagement because she somehow kind of feeling like she's not really having a good relationship with Arif anymore. We don't know how Jessica reacted to this news, but we do know that after telling Jessica all about her life, Mirna asked Jessica back about, you know what happened to you? What are you doing? How are you doing here? And here, Jessica kind of, you know, updating Mirna about all the things that happened to Jessica in Australia. Jessica told Mirna that she met a guy named Patrick, and actually in relationship with Patrick. Patrick is kind of a hard drinker and also do drugs. So when Mirna learned about this, she told Jessica to just broke up with Patrick, because Mirna think this kind of guy wouldn't do any good for Jessica's future. And upon this, Jessica didn't take this advice well. Jessica got offended and then left Mirna alone in the restaurant. She literally just walked away. And after that, Jessica and Mirna never meet each other again, never talk to each other again. And based on Arif's testimony, this incident is the reason why, since that day, Mirna afraid of Jessica. Jessica and Mirna never had any communication again after this incident, until on December 5th, 2015, Jessica took a flight back to Indonesia and sent Mirna a text message telling her that she's coming to Jakarta soon and wanted to catch up with her. And Mirna actually didn't respond right away. She waited for one day to finally reply to Jessica's message saying that she's agreed to see her. But Mirna didn't want to see Jessica alone. She asked Arif to accompany her to pick Jessica and had lunch together. So, on the day, Mirna and Arif came to pick Jessica at her house, and before they go for lunch, they made a stop at Mirna's parents' house because Mirna and Arif had to take some stuff. There, Jessica followed Mirna up to her bedroom and then saw a box of wedding invitations. It was Mirna's and Arif's wedding invitation that took place 10 months ago in Bali. And here, Mirna explained to Jessica that she actually texted Jessica to invite her to their wedding, but didn't hear anything from her back. And upon hearing this, Jessica was confused because she said she never received anything about this wedding invitation at all. She didn't know that Mirna already married. She even shocked to know about this. Now that Jessica had rekindled her friendship with Mirna, Jessica wanted to take one step further. This time, Jessica asked Mirna to help her connect back with other friends they knew from Australia, one of them Honey. So, on December 15th, Mirna made a group chat on WhatsApp named Billy Blue Days, not knowing this is gonna be the start of her own tragedy. Billy Blue Day's group chat only had 4 members in it: Mirna, Jessica, Honey, and Vera. They agreed to have dinner together at Olivia Restaurant and Bar that was located at Grand Indonesia's West Mall. They supposed to gather at 5:30 p.m. for dinner. However, on this awful day, Jessica made a sudden announcement that she's going to arrive early because her father, who was going to drop her, didn't want to get stuck in traffic hour. While Honey and Vera didn't reply, Mirna said she's obsessed with Vietnamese iced coffee in the restaurant that they're going to have dinner. Then, Vera replied and told everyone she was probably going to be late because she had to get off from work first. Jessica arrived at Olivia at 3:30 p.m. and made a booking at receptionist named Cindy. This is going to be quite important. Jessica arrived at Olivia at 3:30 p.m. and made a booking to receptionist named Cindy. This is going to be important. And Jessica placed booking at 4 p.m. because Mirna will come at 5 p.m. And Jessica also left her number there in case, you know, something happened. Jessica then left Olivia and she decided to take a walk. Then, I don't know why, Jessica decided to purchase some gift for her friends in Bath and Body Works as souvenir, as she didn't have anything from Australia for them. Jessica bought 3 hand soaps and asked the cashier to put them in different paper bags. After this purchase, she went back again to Olivia. Cindy noticed Jessica right away and guided her to a table. But then, I don't know why, Jessica made a request if she could get a particular table that will later become a crime scene. Jessica picked a seat at the dining table she wanted and looked for the menu. When the waiter asked for her order, she chose to order directly at the bar. Then she walked to the bar, made her order, a Vietnamese iced coffee for Mirna and 2 cocktails for her and Honey. And after she made the order at the bar, she asked one of the employees to take a picture of her standing near the bar, like literally alone, like asking the employer, take a picture of me here. Then Jessica asked where should she pay for her drinks. The employer led her to the cashier, and then Jessica asked again if she could wait there and bring her own drinks to the table, or will they bring it for her? And then Jessica was told, "No, miss, you can go back and we'll serve your drinks there." Like, I don't know why Jessica, like, never order anything from restaurant. I think she's asking so many questions. Jessica then walked back to the table and seated there. One of the employer served the drinks, the coffee and the cocktails. It wasn't known which drink arrived first, the coffee or the cocktails. And then there it is, Jessica sitting alone, waiting for 52 minutes with iced coffee and two cocktails before finally Myrna arrived with honey. And at that time, Jessica didn't know that Myrna is going to arrive with honey. She thought Myrna and honey will came separated. So Jessica kind of, you know, baffled to know about that. The first thing Myrna and honey noticed when they saw Jessica was the drink. Like, honey asked her why she ordered drinks before they even arrived. Jessica said it was because Myrna wants the drink. Like, Myrna loved the Vietnamese iced coffee. But, you know, like, they were a little bit confused, like, but why order it before we came? Like, the drink's going to taste different. I mean, Jessica was not wrong, but it's kind of like, it's kind of weird and sus, right? But both girls didn't mind this. Myrna trying to appreciate the kind gesture, and so Myrna said, "You know, oh, thanks." And then Myrna drank the coffee. But right after that, Myrna said, "Oh, this tastes awful." Myrna then asked Jessica if she wanted to give it a try, like, because the taste is different, but Jessica refused. Instead, honey gave it a sip and agreed. Like, honey said, "This tastes weird." They both said the coffee tastes like curcumin and had a weird odor out of it. So, also, not to mention the color of that coffee was kind of yellowish, kind of different from what Myrna usually had. Remember, Myrna loved the iced coffee. She knows the taste, she knows the color, and she knows something's not right with the drink. From the CCTV, it could be seen that Myrna waved her right hand in front of her mouth, indicating something awful just got into her mouth. And I had full body chills when suddenly her head flips to the back and went motionless, just within a minute. Honey and Jessica tried to shaken up Myrna's body, but she has a seizures. At this point, everyone was looking at them, and Honey called Arif right away because she was shocked why Myrna suddenly collapsed, had seizures, and foam came out from her mouth. Despite all this chaos, Jessica screamed and asked to everyone, "What did you put in the coffee?" Like, nobody really think about the coffee, but Jessica was like, "What did you put in the coffee?" At that time, Devi, Olivier's manager, who saw all of these things, she was really scared because she really thought something happened with Myrna because of the coffee. Devi didn't know why Jessica asks this question and told Jessica that she should be helping Myrna instead of telling people that there's something wrong in the coffee. At that time, everyone thought that Myrna had epilepsy. So they all suggest Honey and Jessica to bring Myrna to the clinic in the shopping mall complex. The restaurant lent them a wheelchair, moved Myrna's body, and right away sent her to the clinic, nearest clinic they could get. But in the clinic, however, they couldn't do much. Arif, who already arrived at the clinic by the time, were asked to bring Myrna to hospital instead. With an oxygen tank, Myrna carried into Arif's car. Jessica sat beside Arif while Honey sat at the backseat with Myrna. However, when they arrived in a hospital, Myrna already lost her pulse. The emergency doctor tried to resuscitate her, but to no avail. Myrna pronounced dead. Jessica had an episode when she couldn't breathe, so she received treatment at the hospital. But after she got better, she and Myrna's brother, Christopher, asked to went back to Olivier to purchase the same coffee, just in case. They went there with personal driver, and only Christopher went to Olivier. Jessica and the driver stayed inside the car. After Jessica went back to the hospital, she called her father and asked him to pick her up at Abiwaluyo Hospital, where Mirna pronounced dead. And her father was actually confused because, what happened? What are you doing in the hospital? Jessica answered, Mirna was sick and now she's dead. Police investigate this incident right away. It was a headline news and public was hungry for an update. Now, whichever side you wanna look, it doesn't seem good. The autopsy shows Mirna's cause of death was cyanide poisoning. But the question remain is, why would the bartender spike an unknown stranger's drink? Not one of the employee know Mirna and had no motive to spike Mirna's drinks at all. So now, everyone's turning their eye to a woman who ordered a drink 1 hour before her friends arrived. Yes, Jessica was like the main interest. It takes police 1 month to finally make an arrest on January 13th. Jessica was captured in Neo Mangadua Square Hotel as a primary suspect of Mirna's case. And if you guys wondering why Jessica was in a hotel, because she was kind of hiding, like there's a lot of reporters in front of her house that Jessica had eventually moved to a hotel to find some peace. Because Jessica is a filthy rich daughter, their family hired a really famous lawyer for her, a lawyer named Otto Hasibuan. But don't get me wrong, Mirna is also filthy rich, so we are like talking about rich versus rich. I know the timeline are very tiring, but all of these are important. Now we know the timeline, it will be easier to understand this case better and follow the court trial. A trial that was so draining and boiling my emotion, and you will know why. There's this incident reconstruction made by police based on Jessica's and witnesses' testimony. It was played out like how I mentioned you earlier. Cindy, the receptionist, received Jessica's booking. Cashier at Bath and Body Works confirmed the 3 paper bags with hand soaps. And Jessica's went back to Olivier with the paper bag. Everything was recorded. There are a lot of witnesses. Jessica had no recollection of her making a request to get a table she wanted. She said she only followed Cindy, but Cindy, like what I said earlier, testified Jessica asked her to give the certain table, like Cindy was actually giving another table, but Jessica wanted that particular table, and we really don't know why. And upon hearing Cindy's testimony, Jessica said she doesn't think so. Like, what kind of answer is that? The waiter confirmed Jessica made an order at the bar and took a picture. Remember that picture? That picture, yeah. Expert in digital forensics said whether it was a coincidence or not, the picture had pretty much captured the situation at the table of the crime scene. Like, from that picture, you kinda know the layout of the restaurant, you even can see a CCTV cameras in that restaurant. And that was kinda sus, right? But Jessica said she took that picture because she was excited to visit her first bar in Indonesia. But I'm kind of not sure, you know. This is Olivier. Like, Olivier is not like bar, you know. It's more like a restaurant and bar, not bar, you know what I mean. And it's also kind of sus. Like, why would you take a picture of yourself at the bar? It's not like she was posing something. She was just standing near the bar and smiling, and that's all. Like, if you want to really take a picture, you might as well wait for your friends, you know, like 3 of you guys in the bar. Like, it makes more sense rather than you taking picture alone, like waiting for your friends. I don't know, don't judge me wrong, I'm so judgy with this. I really, you know, the first time I wanted to bring this story, I was telling myself that I have to be very neutral, and I was really neutral. I was a little bit suspicious also about all of this, but I don't know, after researching, I kinda am not neutral anymore, and you guys will know why. Anyways, let's continue to this story. So now, we can see from the CCTV, after that picture in the bar, Jessica was seen to walk around in the restaurant for paying the drinks. And then, in the cashier, she closed the bills. Like, she literally only ordered coffee and cocktails, and she closed the bills. Like, her friends hadn't even come. Mirna and Hani hadn't even come. they had not even eat anything, and their main purpose was to have dinner together. Like, why you close the bills? The jury in the prosecutions asked her about this, and Jessica said, "This is a thing in Australia. You close the bills because you paid the round one, and later someone will pay for the food." Like, I don't know if this is an Australian thing. If any of you guys are Australian listeners, let me know. Well, let's say if this is really an Australian thing, I just want you guys to know that actually this dinner was paid by Jessica. Supposedly, Jessica told everyone in the group chat that she was buying them dinner, and that's why they came. And remember the cocktails she ordered? The two cocktails she said it was for her and one of it for Honey. Jessica was lying because Jessica drank both of the cocktails. So literally the only... Oh my god, I've been saying literally like many times. Please don't hate me. So the only drink that was available on the table was only for Myrna. Like, for Myrna only. The Vietnamese iced coffee. The weird Vietnamese iced coffee. And also, Honey actually didn't drink alcohol. And Jessica knew about this. So why Jessica bought two cocktails? Ask Jessica. By the way, when the runners served the Vietnamese iced coffee, the runners testified that Jessica was fascinated and curious about the Vietnamese iced coffee. Jessica asked the server to tell her more about Vietnamese iced coffee. They had a little bit of conversation about this coffee, and then the server said he left the straw on the table. So in the prosecutions, Jessica was asked if she actually touched the coffee, and Jessica said she don't remember. And based on Jessica's testimony, she never touched the straw. But from Honey's testimony, the coffee, the iced coffee, it has the straw inside. It's like, I don't know, I'm confused. So the entire prosecution was like Jessica telling everyone she don't remember and she don't know, or she didn't pay attention. So it was a really exhausting trial. Like, for 4 hours I was watching that, I felt so tired. You may ask, why can't police check the CCTV? And the answer is, there is a CCTV straight across their table. But remember the three paperbacks that Jessica bought from Bath and Body Works? Those three paperbacks was put on the table in certain way, blocking the views. Like, you can't see anything on the table from the CCTV. Like, what a coincidence. That CCTV couldn't catch much movements except, yes, Jessica did touch the iced coffee and moved it. But since Jessica said she wasn't sure if the woman in the CCTV was her or not, let's say it was a ghost. The jury was frustrated because Jessica didn't want to say that the woman in the CCTV on the screen was her. Spoiler alert, it was her. So the jury said, well, those are your clothes on the day, your bag, your phone, so wasn't it you? And Jessica said, well, I can't see her face, so I don't know. Jessica. The crowd was booing, the judge pissed off, and the jury had to change his question in order to get her yes. And the reconstruction evidence, you all, she said now she remembered a different thing. I felt so useless, like the whole persecution thing was happening, and then she said, you know what, I remember it differently. Jessica changed her story again. Like what I said, I wanted to look Jessica in a way she was innocent. I wanted so badly seeing her at the other side, but it feels like she didn't even try to appear, so like she's just doing it really bad if she wanted to save her image. And if you think this case is strange enough or stupid enough, it doesn't even start yet. Around 3:30 p.m. on that day, before Myrna's accident happened, or Myrna's death happened, Honey asked in the group about Jessica's location, and Jessica replied she's on the way. And guess what? The CCTV in Olivier shows that at 3:30, Jessica actually already inside Olivier to make her bookings. And when she was asked, Jessica explained that, well, I was from the toilet and replied the message before I entered Olivier, so technically I was on the way. Like, one step before she entered Olivier, she said that it was on the way. Like, and spoiler alert, the judge didn't buy it, and I don't think anyone else. Are you? Let's move the timeline back before the incident. So, on January 2nd, Jessica asked in Bilibili groups if there's a doctor in shopping mall complex, and Mirna replied, seems like there's no. Strange, like Jessica asked about doctor in shopping mall complex? Very. So the jury asks, why? Why do you need to see a doctor on that day? Why not just go? No need to wait until their dinner together. And Jessica said she needed a vitamin D and she couldn't consume drugstore vitamin. It must be from doctor. Like, I don't know if even that thing is a different, if that are a different thing. I think rich people problem, I don't know, couldn't relate. And strange, absolutely. Now I'm going to move the timeline again. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm going to drag you guys here and there, but this is really interesting. After Jessica's father picked her up at the hospital and they left, she reached home, went to shower, and realized her pants was ripped. Because this pants was ripped, she decided to toss the pants to the laundry bag. And the next morning, when her maid found the pants, the maid asked why it had an odor, an awful smell, and why it was ripped. And Jessica told the maid, you know what, just throw it off. And again, the crowd in the court, when they heard this, they were all booing. Like, you throw away a pants. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not strange. So yeah, the pants, it was thrown away and police never got their hands on it. We really don't know what's on the pants. Oh my god, it sounds bad. So police had her clothing, her belongings as an evidence, except these pants, because her maid already threw it away. And from all this evidence, police didn't find any traces of cyanide. They were still looking for where this cyanide came from. On 9th January, when Jessica came to Mirna's funeral home, Jessica felt intimidated after Mirna's aunt told her they know someone spiked Mirna's drink and they know that whoever arrived first in that restaurant was the person who's doing it. So, what Jessica did after she heard this? Jessica straight didn't come to Mirna's burial on the next day. I don't know if it's something that I will do if I was about to be the person of interest and the cause of death from someone, but it just really don't look good for Jessica, I'm sorry. So when Jessica had been arrested and named as a prime suspect, the police investigated her background and teamed up with Australian police. Turns out the reason why Jessica went back to Indonesia was because she got fired from her job in NSW ambulance because the dispute between her and her boss named Kristen. When Kristen found out Jessica was on a trial for murder, Kristen said she was not surprised. Jessica, to her, capable for murder. Even Jessica told her herself. So the story goes when Jessica once attempted suicide. Jessica once crashed her car to a nursing home and broke her own ribs, and good God, thankfully, none injured except her egoistic self. And when Kristen came to see Jessica in hospital, Jessica said, I didn't try to kill someone. If I wanted to kill someone, I know exactly the right dose. Like, man, chill to the bone. And do you know what Kristen gets after her testimony? Jessica gave her a death threat, saying, you should die and your mom should too. Like, Jessica, nice move. And do you want more? I'm sure you do. She has 15 other criminal records, even though it was not said what crime she did, but it's enough to know that this girl has some problem. And remember when she talked about Patrick, her then boyfriend? Jessica said she never told Mirna anything about Patrick, not even mentioning Patrick's name, and she doesn't know why Mirna knew him. Like, I don't know, man, how Mirna knew about Patrick. I really don't know. Even, and why we know Mirna knew about Patrick, because Mirna told Arif and Arif witnessed everything in the court. So it's kind of like, I know, weird, confusing, but interesting. I hate myself. Jessica also didn't want to say any names of her friends from Australia. She just doesn't want the Australian people that she knew know about this case and get involved with this case. So, besides Patrick, who never testified anyway, and Christy, police has no leads to whom they should ask more questions about Jessica's life in Australia because they really have no names. We have so much information now, but police still couldn't provide solid proof evidence that Jessica did spike the drink. We all know Jessica is really suspicious, but there really is no proof. The cyanide only found inside the coffee, which, by the way, thankfully saved by Devi, if you remember, the Olivier's manager. Because after Jessica said something about what did you put inside the coffee, Devi was, you know, suddenly felt the urge to keep the coffee safe because she's really afraid something will happen to the restaurant. And thanks to Devi, we have solid evidence about the coffee. And actually, the amount of cyanide in the coffee was kind of suspicious too. It's not like literally there is a cyanide that could kill Mirna, but there is cyanide inside the coffee, and it's still a controversy too. But Ian White from 60 Minutes Australia said something like, you know, you have someone who died from cyanide poisoning and you have a coffee with cyanide inside, so, you know, I guess we all get it. So after all of this, Jessica could have been charged with death penalty, but because the key evidence of Jessica spiked the drink could not be presented, Jessica received 20 years in jail instead. She was found guilty, but the charges was considered less than she should get. So now all of you must have wondered, what is the motive? There's no solid motive too, but police suspected it was jealousy. Mirna had a great life, she just got married. And oh, by the way, remember when Mirna said she actually tried to invite Jessica? Mirna actually didn't invite Jessica, she was lying. She didn't want Jessica to come to her wedding day. And we never know why. And also, there's one testimony from Mirna's father said that he read text between Jessica and Mirna, and Jessica once said something about wanting to kiss Mirna. So there's an allegations that Jessica actually have special feeling for Mirna, but we never know. Because until today, Jessica pled not guilty. I'm not sure if this investigation's too focused on Jessica or not, because Mirna has a husband and we didn't really know what happened between Mirna and husband. And usually when this kind of case happen, you must look at the husband too, because you know, the person who's the closest to the victim usually is the main key to something, right? We also know Honey came together with Mirna. So who would have known that she did something to Mirna right before they reached Olivier? Honestly, I really tried to see Jessica in a new light, but everything she did was so suspicious. Everything's too odd. That smile she gave when reporter took her picture by the time she was announced as a prime suspect, you guys might see. Holy freak, she smiles like a celebrity winning an award. She kinda looked like Jodi Arias to me, like, I don't know why. But now you guys know about this story, what do you think? I really hope you guys enjoyed these discussions, this case, and I really hope that Mirna's family get a piece of justice and some rest, knowing that Jessica, who they believed as the murderer, was still locked in the jail and Mirna getting some justice. See you guys on the next video. Thank you so much for listening. Tell me what you guys think about this case. I really thank you guys for supporting this channel, and see you guys. Bye bye.